Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting their essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids their vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Family time is precious, and connecting over a home-cooked meal, now that's what love is all about. But for most of us, finding the time to plan meals, do the shopping, and cook from scratch can feel impossible. That's where Gobble comes in. Each week, choose from their rotating menu of 18-plus gourmet meals, mix and match from classic recipes, lean and clean recipes, and vegetarian options, and Gobble will deliver right to your door. Plus, they have lunch options like salads and soups, breakfast kits, and even desserts. We had the turkey enchiladas the other night, and it was a huge crowd favorite in my home with all my children and Kyle. It was absolutely delicious and, more importantly, easy to prepare. See what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited-time deal. Get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/livingfully. That's gobble.com/livingfully. That offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory, and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating two multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I am thrilled for today's episode. A, because I know this conversation is going to be really amazing, because this is truly one of the most positive, upbeat, joy-filled people that I've ever met in my life. And B, because it is a close friend of mine that I'm having on today that has lived a lot of life, that we've experienced a lot of life together, and I cannot wait to have this conversation with my friend, Herb Flight Time Lang. So Flight Time has spent about 18 years on the Harlem Globetrotters, and he also did 3 seasons of The Amazing Race, 2 seasons with me and my dad. And that's where we became friends. And then we've just stayed close over the years. And he has this amazing message of kindness is free. It's just this really special thing. But what's also really cool is he's been through some major adversity in his life. And when I tell you, he is grateful for every single tough thing that he's been through. And he is just the most resilient person with an incredible, incredible legacy that he's leaving. Like, you just wait. So I'm so excited about this podcast today. So without further ado, Flight Time. Well, I am so excited today. It's a really special treat when I get to have someone that I am actually friends with and that I know and that I've experienced some like really amazing things with. And so today I get to have my friend Herb. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to be here. I can't wait to hear you say, well, flight time.
When we were doing the race, he was like, yo, stop calling me Flight Time. Call me Herb. Like, because we were real friends, but it was just like, Flight, get over here, Flight. You know, Flight Time Big Easy, we did 2 seasons of The Amazing Race with, and I'll tell you who is like so jealous and upset that he's not here right now is Gary Irvin.
Oh, man.
Because you are truly like two of his favorite people on the earth. And he just loves y'all.
He's one of my favorite people as well. I mean, there was a time when my career ended. He was one of the first people that I actually reached out to, and he gave me some advice that actually still sticks with me today. So I'm forever grateful. Yeah. I know you probably didn't know that, but I called him. You know, he actually reached out to me and I called him and he shared something with me about my experience with the Globetrotters that has really helped me get through to where I am right now, which is
Tell me what it was.
Well, he basically said to me, he said, Herb, you gave everything to the organization. He said, and you deserve better. He said, but sometimes things come to an end. And if you continue to be who you are, the sky's the limit for you. Mm-hmm. So hold your head high and just continue to pursue your passions. That's what Gary basically told me in a nutshell.
Awesome.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Because that's exactly what I needed during that time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's been through a lot, you know, in a career and like had some things that were in the sky, like your career with the Globetrotters, and good things come to an end sometimes. But like what you're doing now, I know is going to supersede 18 years on the Harlem Globetrotters. I know it. Like when I watch you speak and I really think about your message and I think about that, like nobody's really saying this message. I'm just like, he's really on to something. And I think that the Globetrotters, opened the door for you to have a platform for people to hear this message, because this message is really awesome.
You're absolutely right, Mallory. I mean, so for me, having the chance to play for 18 years and travel to nearly 90 countries around the world, you know, I tell people there was a lot of bad things that have happened to me along the way.
Yeah.
But along that journey, there were so many people that helped me. I mean, dating all the way back to elementary school, to middle school, to high school. And it was all in kindness, you know, people believing in me more than I believed in myself, and eventually me believing in myself as well. And as I continue on this journey and as I, you know, do these shows like Amazing Race and I get on these stages and share, I know that I get to represent all the people who've helped me along the way. I know that these people watch me on my social media and they feel like they're there, you know. So that's why when I go home and when I'm around people, I always try to make sure that I love on them, you know, make them feel special, make them feel important, because they are, you know. And that's, I need that too sometimes, you know. So I always tell people, love on the lover, help the helper sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just a blessing and a gift to have been able to travel so many places and meet so many amazing people like yourself. I follow you. You inspire me. I'm excited to be here. And
we're really excited to have you. And like, you know, something that I always like to share when I personally know a person is how congruent you are with your message. Because there's a lot of people promoting positivity and happiness and maybe even kindness. But I don't think that like, to their core, always, like, maybe that's been their mission. Like, maybe they really like that idea and they're promoting it and they're talking about it. But what I can say about my friend Flight Time is he is truly in the top three most positive, happy, joy-filled, kind people I've ever met in my whole life.
Try to make me cry over here.
I'm being for real.
Don't you make me cry.
And you know what's so cool about it is, you know, I know you really well and we've spent a lot of time together around the world. And here's the thing too. It's like, yeah, maybe it was a month that we spent each season of The Amazing Race. But I think that month is multiplied because we didn't have cell phones. We had zero distractions. We went through some of the most insane experience, rich, deep experiences together. And I feel like it bonded all of us in a way that like, we all feel very close because we had this really cool experience together. And so it feels like I've known you for, even I have known you for 15 years, but it feels like I've known you for a lot longer just because, you know, we experienced so much together. But I didn't really know the parts of your story that whenever I was reading your book, I didn't really know the depth of like how much of a struggle it was growing up. And you know what that did for me? Like, A, it made me sad because the people that I like love the most in life, I just hate to know like that they ever suffered. You want to take it away. But it made you this incredible, like positive, great person. But it also like made me look at you and your positivity and everything and be like, how awesome that he ended up here. Because you could have gone the total other direction. But you ended up at a place of joy and happiness and positivity. And you know, I'm curious about that. Was that just a conscious choice? Is it because you've seen the other way to live? Is it because you've experienced adversity? Like, why is it that Herb ended up positive and upbeat and joy-filled despite all of those things for years and years and years?
Well, thank you for saying that, too. I think it has a lot to do with the people who raised me, the community who raised me. You know, my mom, she had me at the age of 17, which was, you know, really, really young, I guess, even today. But she had six of us by the time she was 25. And it took my grandparents, it took people in the community. There was a lot of things that I saw negative. There's a lot of things that I saw good. You know, my grandmother, she was really into the church. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to be able to attend church sometimes with her 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times when we would travel to different parts. I'm from Arkansas.
Tent revivals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I loved those stories.
We were holy rolling, you know, people getting the Holy Ghost. And I mean, for me, what it did for me is realize that giving people hope is a gift. And that's how I kind of live my life on hope. I've dreamed and I've imagined. And I've found people that I've looked up to and I've kind of patterned myself along, you know, some of their behaviors and the way that they treat people. And so for me, I think that that is kind of what has got me to this point. And, you know, when we talk about experiences and the pains and the suffering, I share this with people now. I'm so grateful for all of these experiences because what they do is make me relative. Mm-hmm. You know, the heartbreak, the pain, the financial gain, the financial loss, death, all of these things make me relative. If I don't experience these things, I can't share with other people. I can't listen to them. But if I'm able to listen and be able to relate to everyday things that people go through, then I can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I can sit down and listen. We can feel like we know each other, you know, because we've shared experiences just like you just talked about with the Amazing Race. And for me, that's what it's all about. It's about kindness and treating people better than you can expect to be treated. Everything that's happened in my life, for the most part, people have stepped up for me and believed in me.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for me to not, you know, continue on that course.
Yeah, that's amazing because I think so many people hold on to the anger of like, why me? Why did this happen? It's so easy for some people. Why did I have to endure years and years of watching, you know, watching your mom be abused and, you know, growing up in the projects and like, why? I love it that you didn't. Did you ever feel like you were ever going that direction where you were angry about it and you kind of like felt bad for yourself? Or did you all, were you always just kind of like, I'm pulling through? Like,
there's definitely times when I felt anger. See, one of the things when I was a kid, I used to travel to Dallas, Texas with my dad from the ages of 5 to 12. And in my town, it was a little bit backwards a little bit back then.
Yeah, small
still
towns
got,
are
still got a little
behind.
Bit of catching up to do. Yeah. But what those experiences did was allow me to see things that I wouldn't have saw in Brinkley, Arkansas. You know, I saw Asian people. I saw Indian people. I saw black and white. And in my town, it was just black and white. You know, I saw little kids, black, white, and Asian playing baseball together on the baseball field. If you look at my baseball career, there was none of my friends from there, you know. And these are still some deep-rooted issues that we get to work on. But as I say, like when I got let go, when an opportunity is taken away, it's just an opportunity for me to do something better. So the experiences and the things that I grew up with are my motivation. The things that make people angry, they inspire me, you know, because I say the things that happen bad, it couldn't happen to a better person because I can handle it.
Yeah. I love that attitude. It was also like really eye-opening in the book because, you know, you and I were 10 years apart or whatever. We're not that far apart in age. But like talking about what you experienced in Brinkley with like even segregation, I was like, was it really that far behind? I was really mind blown, like all of those stories in the book and how you pulled through all those things. And what a gift that you were able to travel to Texas and see like, oh, this isn't right. Like, I'm sure you felt, obviously, that it wasn't right, but that, you know, it was behind. I think that small towns are so great in so many ways because I think there are a lot of good people in small towns. There's a simplicity about small towns, but sometimes they are behind. I mean, I grew up in a small town, too.
You know, Mallory, it's the older I get, the more people in my town start to have conversations with me because I travel. They respect me, and I respect them. I love my hometown. Mm-hmm. My family's there. My mom and dad is there. We have... my dad just bought the old Greyhound bus station.
Really?
There. Yeah, where me and my grandmother used to jump on that bus and ride to Memphis an hour away. You know, my stepfather, he's a fish farmer. A lot of people don't know that. We have a couple hundreds of acres of a fish farm in Arkansas. And I think just recently, for some reason, something's calling me back there to do something bigger. It's been for a few years, but I know that there's something big that I get to do in my town. It sits right between Little Rock and Memphis, Jonesboro and Pine Bluffs, just an hour away. And based on some of the conversations I've had, there's been some people back in the past that have not allowed our town to develop, but that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know? People tell me, you know, when you're going through things, I've been through some things over the past few years, some struggles, man, ain't nobody coming to save you.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I can save myself and I can come save the rest of the people
too.
Gosh,
I love it.
I'll be him.
I love it. I think that, you know, like I said in the beginning of the interview, you were with the Globetrotters for 18 years, and I want to go back and talk about, like, this opportunity, and you alluded to it at the beginning of the interview already that there were a couple people in your life that really kind of, they were kind to you, and they changed the direction of your life. One of those people was, you know, you said that once you started playing sports in high school, like, things kind of changed. You felt like you were coming into your own, and you knew you were good at something, you had this talent, you really wanted to play at this school, and this guy comes and watches you playing a basketball game at your high school. Take me back to that and like this life-changing moment, because I really liked that story.
So this story is probably a little bit more than you even know. There's some stuff that happened since the book, but Walter Camper, his older brother, Corey Camper, was one of my heroes. 1986, his high school team, they went 26-0.
Okay.
And then they went 26-1. They lost the final game of the state in the state championship, and I was there. I must have been 10 years old, and I remember that. But Walter Camper's older brother was kind of my hero, and Walter was a really good basketball player as well. He ended up going to Centenary College ahead of me. He got injured his freshman year and ended up having to sit out an entire year, which was unfortunate for him, but a blessing in disguise for me. He ended up having an opportunity to come to see me play in high school. And during that time, there wasn't a lot of schools that were recruiting me. And I just remember seeing him there and thinking, yeah, if he's here, I'm about to show out. Mm-hmm. And so during the course of the time he was there, I probably averaged about 30 points a game, 3 or 4 dunks a game, just to, you know, kind of let him know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying to me after that third game, when I get back to Centenary, I'm going to tell him about you. And he told him about me. He kept his word, and it was the only Division I school scholarship that I had. And, you know, Walter Camper from Brinkley, Arkansas, eventually became my college roommate. He eventually became my brother-in-law for a little bit of time.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
We're still friends to this day. Yeah. You know, he's one of my, you know, one of my best friends. And, again, it's just a testament of people stepping up and believing in me, you know, seeing something in me. I mean, I thought I could play basketball at the Division I level, but if it were not for them, you know, speaking up for me, it wouldn't have happened. And you have to imagine, too, that we played the same position.
Yeah.
We both playing guard.
I love that.
We're both playing guard. And so, I mean, for him to know that we're in competition, I guess he could see down the road that we would eventually be the backcourt, which we eventually were. And so, I mean, it's just a blessing. That's why, for me, if you look at my social media, I say I'm a people promoter. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a people promoter in the sense that I listen to a lot of people talk about social media, this and, oh, you got to be down this lane, you got to be that lane. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm a people promoter, I can put everybody I want out there. I don't have no lane, you know. It's just like speaking, you know, with speaking. Everybody has a different style. Mm-hmm. I've taken classes. I've listened to people who haven't even spoken to tell me, oh, you need to stand in one spot. Don't move around. I wish I would stand in one spot. I got all this stage. I'm about to put on a show. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding? You know where I spent 18 years of my life, the Harlem Globetrotters. I can stand here with this microphone.
So, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, see your own view, your own visions, and, you know, hopefully those other people come along with you.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that, too. And I feel like, you know, your journey with the Globetrotters. I mean, how many people have spent 18 years in that organization? Probably very few.
There's not been a lot. I mean, you got guys like Curly Neal, Metal Arc Lemon.
Yeah.
Probably most recently, my good friend Chris Highlight Bruden. But there has not been a lot of players to play that long. I mean, when I came in, they said the typical career would be 3 to 5 years. And before I knew it was 10. It was 15. And I was player coach, and I was doing Amazing Race and appearing on all these different shows. Mm-hmm. And it was a dream come true, even more than a dream come true.
Well, you know what I like, too, and it's kind of what he did for you. You were both playing the same position, but he reached out and helped you instead of seeing you as competition. It's the player-coach relationship that you had with the other Globetrotters. I mean, you knew those guys were going to replace you one day.
Yeah.
But you coached them, and you taught them the skills that made flight time there for 18 years. What did that feel like? Is that just something that's like in you, just to be a people promoter, like even if people are doing the same thing that you're doing?
I mean, I don't know. I've always just really enjoyed people, and I want to see people win at any cost. Yeah. I hate to see my friends struggling. I don't like struggling, you know? I mean, but again, if I don't struggle, then I can't relate.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't go through these things, I can't tell my teammates or people who are, you know, looking up to me, well, I went through this too, and this is what you can do to get to that next level. So I just love people. I love seeing people win. You know, when I got retired from the Globetrotters, one of the first things that I did was join the Retired Players Association, National Retired Players Association. And one of the first events that I went to was NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. And during that time, I had a chance to be around a few of my former teammates. And this organization, the National Basketball Retired Players Association, we represent over 1,500 former NBA, WNBA, ABA, as well as Harlem Globetrotters. And so for me to be in a room with people who are retired and have, you know, kind of on the other side, it helped me. You know, sometimes it helps you to get in those rooms, you know, with similar people. And, you know, since I've been in an organization now for It's my seventh year. I've been on the Member and Services Committee for 3 years now. And on the Member and Services Committee, what we do is we look for opportunities for former NBA, WNBA. Mm-hmm. So some of the people that I grew up idolizing and watching, I get to get in the room with some of these people and talk about them and try to figure out how we can make their lives better. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just makes me feel good to know that I'm helping people out, trying to get more of my teammates involved, because it's been a blessing, a blessing to me. And we're able to you know, to make a difference. There's strength in numbers. And the more of us that get involved, the more events that we show up in, the more that we're around each other, feeling that energy, the more positive we feel. And we remember what got us to that point.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have, because you are a people helper, if you had somebody standing in front of you that was like, I just got let go from my dream job and it's like my whole identity and I don't know what I'm going to do. And they're kind of in that spiral that you were in after you got that call saying you weren't going to be coming back for a 19th season. Like, what would you say to them?
I'm glad you asked that question, Mallory. So I would tell anybody that just lost their job, don't forget about your dreams, you know. For me, growing up in Brinkley, Arkansas, I dreamed of playing professional sports. Mm-hmm. That dream came true. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't all I dreamed about.
Yeah.
I dreamed about television. I dreamed about dancing. I dreamed about riches. I dreamed about being on stages in front of people. And, you know, for me, when my Globetrotter career ended, of course, I took a downward spiral for a little bit, but also had a moment of reflection to realize how good I was at what I did. All the skills I had acquired along the way, the people I met, the people I talked to within the organization. And so basically, I mean, I'm the kind of person that if you show me something, I can duplicate it.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down, take some notes, remember the things that I dreamed about, and press forward with those new dreams. And for me, it took me actually relocating. I ended up moving out to California, which I left my daughter back in Louisiana. But my mindset was that in order for me to get to where I need to be, I needed to change locations.
Yeah.
And the spaces where I may not look like the best dad or whatever, I said, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice 3 or 4 years to get to the top so I can be a great dad for the rest of their lives, as opposed to those couple of years that I missed. And that's, you know, kind of my mission. I know that, you know, we all have a different way of doing things, but I know that at the end of the day, my kids will be proud of me. They didn't see me make it to the Globetrotters, but they can see what I'm doing right now. Yeah. So a lot of adults, they sit back and, you know, they tell their kids, you can do this, you can do that, or I used to do this. Get out there and show them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in shape.
Yeah.
When I see my son working out and I see his muscles bulging out of his arm, I drop down and give him about 25 push-ups.
That's awesome.
In. You know, because I also want,
that is awesome.
Also want the coaches to know that when they look at him and they see me, I work hard and he's going to work hard too because it's in his DNA.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth? So many parents, it is just the things that they say, the things that they say, the things that they say, but it is so much more powerful when you show them, when you take care of yourself, when you go after your dreams. Like that is, that's huge. I love it that you said that. I think that's going to be a reminder to a lot of people that are listening to this, that are parents that are like obsessed with how do I be the best parent? You know, I tell them to do this, or I tell them to make good grades, I buy them organic food, all this stuff, but like also show them in the way that you live and show up and treat other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you, everybody's trying to figure out how to crack the code, how to get the next generation okay. It's like, if we act right, y'all, they're going to act right.
Just treat people good and, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I watch and I listen to a lot of adults, you know, I used to be able to do this. I'm almost 50. I love when they say I'm almost 52.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no no excuses. Yeah. I mean, there are people who have excuses, but whenever I see myself or feel myself getting down, you know, in a space that's not comfortable for me or where I need to be, I think about people that are less fortunate. Mm-hmm. And I've been those less people that people have been less fortunate towards. So I'm able to relate.
Yeah. For sure. You and my dad are a lot alike in that. I mean, he didn't start climbing these mountains until he was after 60. And people are like, well, you know, I'm in my 60s. Like, I could never do anything. I'm like, he's climbed Mount Everest 3 times in his 60s. Like, get over it. And look at my dad. He's not like the most fit person. Like, it's mind over matter.
Mind.
Like, he is squeezing every ounce of out of life like you are. And like, age, he always says, like, age is just a number.
Can I tell you another Gary story?
Yeah.
So... when I got let go in 2017, it was about a year later. I'm still really good friends with our former president, Kirk Snyder. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Gary climbing these mountains and stuff, and one day I ended up messaging my former owner. I think I called him too. I said, hey, man, we got to go climb Mount Everest, you know?
Yeah.
Gary had me thinking that I still think that I could probably do it, but he had me
you
inspired
could definitely do it.
To reach out to my former president, Kirk Snyder,
wow.
and say, hey, we could go climb a mountain together.
What'd he say?
He was down. He said, we're going to need some work.
Really?
We're going to need some work.
Yeah. Well, you've got a person that you could talk to that could help you to get prepared, but that's awesome. But yeah. He's going to love that. Does he know that?
I don't think I ever told
him that.
That's awesome. But yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm up for any challenge.
Yeah.
I'm up for the challenge.
Yes, you are. Okay, so talking about setting an example for our kids, like what you're doing now, why did you choose like the kindness is free message? So you've been let go from the Globetrotters. You're like, what do I do next? You know, I know you're doing some speaking and then you write the book and then you do all these things because you're sharing your experiences. But there's this thing that bubbled to the top, which is kindness is free. Kindness is free. Give it away. Give it away. I love listening to you speak because it's over and over. Kindness is free. Every time I heard you say that when I was listening to your TED Talk, I was like, he's right. Kindness is free. Kindness is free. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, can't have this. It's going to cost me too much money. Well, kindness is free.
Kindness is free. It costs us nothing.
I love that message. Why did you choose that message?
So for me, throughout my career plan, and if you look in any of the programs of 18 years, most of the time when you see my motto, it was patience and kindness, if you look through the programs. And I've always felt like people give up too quick. But if you're patient and you withstand the time, the trials and the tribulations, your reward is coming, you know. My grandmother, she spent her whole life searching, going to church, praying for her blessing. She never got the riches that she probably felt that she deserved, but I'm going to get them for her. I am her riches. I am her testimony, you know. And for me, when you talk about kindness being free, I remember during COVID, I was on a podcast. There was this guy, Jeremy Ryan Slate, and we were talking and it came out of my mouth. Kindness is free. I think it was right before COVID. And during this time before COVID, I had already decided I was going to brand myself, which is my brand, Swag Ball. This is just like Nike has a check.
I love it.
Just like Reebok has their logo. Mm-hmm. I have my logo. Mm-hmm. Kindness is free came as a result of us walking through the grocery stores during COVID and nobody speaking to each other. And I had the vision that we need to start putting some positive messages on our mask. You know, we're not communicating, but if we put on our mask, I have a few masks that say kindness is free, at least you can understand that I am a nice person. I'm trying to communicate with you, although I'm not speaking. This started with a mouthpiece.
I didn't know that. That's
and
how
it turned
that started.
Into this. Mm-hmm. And so now it's all over me. I wear it every day. And like I said on my TED Talk, if I put it over here, I can say it with my heart. Kindness is free.
Yeah.
I learned that it's all about branding. You know about that.
I know
brand,
about it. I know about it. Yeah.
I often talk about thinking outside the box, going for your dreams.
Yeah.
Some people can't see. They can't imagine the way that you see things. But the same way all these other people became successful, multimillionaires, billionaires in this world, we get to do that too. Yeah. The difference is that when I get mine, I get to give back abundantly because kindness is free. Every possession that I get, I want it to be for other people to get experience as well. I'm going to enjoy them too, as I do. But I want people less fortunate that, you know, don't typically get to do certain things to know what it's like. I mean, first time I rode a plane, I think I was in seventh grade. So just imagine some young people that couldn't imagine ever being on a yacht or a plane or going to sporting events. That's what I'm going to do with my blessings.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So let's talk about, since you've talked about airplanes, let's talk about world travel.
Are you trying to take me on a plane? Are you trying to fly me? I know you're a pilot.
You want to? That was a long time ago. They probably don't even know that. We spent a lot of time together on an airplane. You guys taught me so many, because you guys traveled so much with the Globetrotters. You've been to 90 countries, sometimes some of the countries like three times. You taught me so many skills on an airplane that I still like think about today. So we would be watching a movie together. So like me and my dad and Flight Time Big Easy, we're like all sitting in the same row flying to Lord knows what country. And he's like, you want to watch a movie together? And I was like, well, yeah, but we all got our own individual TVs. And you're like, no, you started at the same time. You're watching it together. So now if I'm on a flight with the TV, I'm like, what movie you want to watch? And I was like, well, I have my own TV. And I'm like, no, you watch it together.
Synchronize. Press play.
So many of those like fun little things. And I mean, we traveled to some third world countries and we traveled to some places with just like riches galore. But what's so cool about Amazing Race is we were so in it. Yeah. Like when people are always like, is it real? I'm like, yeah.
I'm like, good luck trying to convince me not to win $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, good luck. It is like, they're like, but yeah, like, is it kind of rigged? And I'm like, no, it's not kind of rigged. It's like so real. And we slept in airports and we slept on trains and we slept on the ground. There are some experiences that I remember that like were on our season together. And I can't remember which season, but you remember when we were in China and I remember production when they saw us like all getting together and be like, we're going to have a basketball game. So like, we've got the Harlem Globetrotters. We had two NFL cheerleaders. I sang the national anthem. We had Zeb and Justin.
We had the Cowboys. We had Zeb and Justin.
It was so awesome.
Oh, man. We had Keisha and Jen.
Oh, yeah. College basketball players.
We had Keisha and Jen. And we were just out in the middle of who knows where in China.
Maybe Lijiang, China. I can't remember.
And we put on a full show.
It was a full show.
We had you singing the national anthem. We had Big Easy out doing tricks. I think Keisha and Jen played basketball with us.
Yeah.
We had the commentary on the side. We had the NFL cheerleaders all the way in China, you know, so that's
isn't that awesome?
Oh, man.
You know what about our seasons, though? I feel like that sometimes, like, production would be kind of watching us and being like, oh, gosh, you know, because they want you to kind of pit against each other some. But we were friends, at least, like, to the end. Like, you know, we didn't really have people that we were trying to take down or anything. Like, we'd be friends till the very end. Then we'd be in the last episode, and we'd be racing against each other. But we were, like, you know, cheering for each other and happy. We're always sharing things. Remember when y'all were on that little bike in Switzerland or somewhere and you had to ride the bike
Liechtenstein.
Listen to me, Switzerland.
I'm riding the bike across Liechtenstein, which is what the smallest, one of the smallest
countries in the world,
in
maybe?
The world,
yeah.
Other than the Vatican.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was like 27 miles and then you had to go find a couple of clues. But I feel like I was Pee Wee Herman riding through Liechtenstein with this helmet on, this electrical bike that you could pedal and then.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And I remember it was great like you
memories.
Were like halfway done. No, you had finished. I think y'all helped us win or get to the end of that, like, because we had a roadblock or we had one of those, what is it called? Pit stoppers or roadblock or something for getting last, like the leg before. And so you had
a
roadblock. So you had to ride this whole thing, then measure your speedometer.
The miles.
And I still remember because they used it for the promo. My dad rides up on his Pee Wee Herman bike by flight time, who's coming back, and he's like, how far is it? And you're like, 27 kilometers.
I said, I remember, 27. I remember the number. That's why I said 27, so I know I was 27.
I know. He's helping his boy, Gary.
Every now and then, you got to help people out. You
know.
Good people. One good favor deserves another.
Yeah, it does. You know, there were some teams that never really helped.
Well, there were some teams that say, all I'm saying is that it starts with an F, Franz.
I know. Yeah, for real.
I don't blame them, though.
Gosh, I mean, we had so many good experiences. That one, and you know one that I always remember? I don't know why Varanasi is, like, burned in my head. Like, do you remember that leg?
I do remember
in Varanasi. And there was something about it. Like, you know, you always talk about in the book and a lot of times in your speeches and stuff how, like, everybody in the world is kind of like, everybody wants to be happy and everybody wants to feel joy and, like, it's kind of all the same all around the world. You know something that I feel like is so special about Varanasi and India in general? There was so much sadness and death and I didn't see one person crying. We saw people like dying on the side of the road. We saw people putting the bodies of children
down the water
in the Ganges,
burning
bodies.
Yeah.
And they were like celebrating. It was the most crazy, bizarre thing I've ever seen. And it was like an imprint on me forever, like of all the moments of the race. And I think we won an Emmy for that clip, like of us kind of going down the Ganges River. And I was just watching all those bodies and everything and just seeing those people.
Real life.
But seeing those people just like accepting life on life's terms and seeing them filled with joy, that affected me. And like we slept on the street that night, I feel like. And there was like, you know, there was a beggar and his son and they were like cooking breakfast on the side. And you guys were sleeping by like me and my dad. And then I think Zev and Justin were there or something. And it's just like burned in my mind.
Yeah.
Like remembering that.
These are experiences that a lot of people, you know, don't understand. I mean, people look at you and me and I mean, we live pretty good lives right now. But some of our best experiences are those experiences which we didn't have a lot of things. Just the person next to us.
Yeah.
Just the experience, just the moment, you know. So a lot of times when I hear people complaining about certain situations, I often, again, I have to reflect and say, be happy where you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's not where you are. It's the people that are around you,
mm-hmm.
you know. I gave a speech about a week ago, and I said, you know, if you If you want to see flight time get upset, start complaining.
I love it. Show me
that you have no gratitude, because I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You know, it's already written for me. Mm-hmm. So I just have to continue to play my role.
Yeah.
Be a star in my
role.
Yeah.
You said that like in a speech that I heard you say. You were like, gratitude just like flows through me. I can feel my grandmother's spirit like flowing through me.
Yeah.
You are her legacy. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to think about. If you had a grandparent or parent that didn't achieve what they deserved on earth, that you are their legacy. Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there. And I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Lil Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Lil Critters gummy vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Lil Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. As most of y'all know, I'm a mom to three young kids, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing we all use is diapers. That's why I want to tell you about how great Pampers Cruisers 360 is. Pampers Cruisers 360 is a must-have baby-proof diaper for your wild child. I don't know about your children, but Sunday, who is now two, has figured out how to strap on and off her own diaper, but Pampers Cruisers 360 will fix that problem. Unlike ordinary taped diapers where babies can rip off the tape or the tabs, Cruisers 360 is tape-free and hence removal-proof and baby-proof. It has a 360-degree stretchy waistband that simply slides right on. Pampers Cruisers 360 keeps up with your wild child with up to a 100% leak-proof, gap-free fit. No matter how your baby moves, it's the ultimate baby-proof. Try Pampers Cruisers 360 with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. They're made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess, with Free and Gentle mess meets its match. Add Pampers Cruisers 360 and Free and Gentle Wipes to your cart or pick them up at your local grocery or big box store. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Let me tell y'all about something that my family has used for years. HelloFresh is a meal delivery service with farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy and fun and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. From the planning to the shopping to the prep to actually getting everyone to enjoy what you made, family dinners can be stressful. HelloFresh gets it. They make it easy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater approved recipes right to your door each week. My pickiest eater would probably be my oldest child, Ford, and he even loves HelloFresh meals when we make them. Back to school season comes with a lot. It means shopping, after school activities, and a lot less free time. So skip the meal planning and grocery store runs with nutritious and delicious meals from HelloFresh. Y'all know that we are all about convenience and ease around here, and HelloFresh makes our lives so easy by making cooking enjoyable for the whole family. And let me tell you about a great offer that they are offering my listeners. For a limited time, kids eat free. So go to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids to unlock this exclusive offer. One free kids meal per box for 2 months while the subscription is active. That's free kids meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids.
I remember my grandmother picking pennies up off the ground. I remember my grandmother going to the local grocery stores getting food on credit, you know, and then at the end of the month coming to pay her bill with food stamps and then running up the credit again, you know. That's how I grew up, so that's why I'm the way that I am. I'm grateful. I try to do what I'm saying I'm going to do, and I try not to complain as much as I can. You know, my mother said to me, she said, if you hear me complain, it's just because I want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, ain't nothing really wrong.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again. You got to say that. That's awesome.
If you hear me complain, it's just because I want to have a conversation. There's nothing really wrong.
Wow. I've never heard anybody say anything like that.
Let's have a conversation then.
She don't complain much,
but we still have conversations. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah.
My mom's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, she has to be for you to have come from your mom. Okay, so what is, if you had to pick one lesson that you learned from, like, being around the world or one experience, like, if you had to pick one, like, is there something that, like, really changed your perspective? Because I know your upbringing really affected and influenced your perspective, the story that you just told about your grandma. Well,
there's something that recently, I'd say in the last 3 or 4 years, that has changed me. I mentioned Kirk Snyder. Our former president, mm-hmm. his wife passed away a few years ago from cancer, and I had a chance to go up there and, you know, go to the funeral. And I remember his son speaking about his mom, and he gave a Maya Angelou quote, and I don't want to mess it up, but it talked about how people may not remember what you say, they may not remember what you do, but they will always remember how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. And I never really heard that before, and I knew Maya Angelou was from Arkansas, like me, she's from Stamps.
I didn't know she was from Arkansas
But for me, I think that I had already been doing that, but what it allowed me to do was understand the importance of putting more of an emphasis on it. Mm-hmm. And so everywhere I go, and I love it, it makes me feel good. I love loving on people. I love the hug. I love the smile. I love to make people feel like everything is going to be okay, you know? If I'm struggling, I'd rather do it on my own in my own time. But if I'm around people, I want you to be like, man, that person right there was a joy to be around. Kind of like, I mean, speaking of the Retired Players Association, we just lost Bill Walton recently, and I had a chance to be around him a few times. And all the things that people are saying about him is true. He was a kind man, big man, but super kind. I mean, the times I met him and told him that I played with the Globetrotters, he took interest. He talked to me as if he know me, as if he known me all my life. And there's a couple of other celebrities that do that. Shaquille O'Neal is one of them, one of my all-time favorites. He's accepted that he is of the world, you know? He's of the people, so he doesn't shy away from it. He embraces it, and that's something that I get to do, that we all get to do. You know, we're lucky enough to have a platform, some of us, and some of us don't do the right things with our platform. Yeah. But as my platform continues to grow, I know that I get to impact more people.
Gosh, that's great. I mean, when you all, like I said at the beginning of the interview, like, you are kindness and joy filled, and like the joy that you bring kids on the court for 18 years with the Harlem Globetrotters is still the joy that you bring to people today. I mean, when you walked into our office, it's just like, hey, how's everybody? Hey, what's your name? You know, what are you doing? Let's talk. I missed you, Malerone. Like,
Malerone.
Malerone. Okay.
Malerone.
Okay, so on the Amazing Race. Okay, I was a little bit in a different phase of life on The Amazing Race. So Flight Time really got to see me. You know, it was a great time of life, but I was also like starting to struggle, you know. But we were always still like so close. And Flight Time and Big Easy called me Malerone. Well, Malerone is a pill that we had to take to not get malaria. So everybody's like, Malerone, you still call me Malerone? And you got to tell everybody, like, I was like, why do you call me Malerone? And what did you say?
You want me to tell?
Yeah.
All right, so let me tell you guys about Mallory on The Amazing Race. First of all, she's a joy to run with and be around, as well as her dad. But if you're not careful, Malerone will stress you out. Malerone will hit panic mode, and you be thinking that we both been eliminated. And I've never seen two teams be eliminated at one time. So what we begin to realize with Malerone is that we get to, you know, stay calm when Malerone comes around, because Malerone will also cure you too. She will get you sick and she will cure you. So Malerone is the sickness and the cure.
Yes.
So that's Malerone.
Because Malerone, when you would take it, it would kind of make you feel like you had a little touch of malaria, but it also would save you from like dying from malaria.
Yeah,
too.
Because when we would go to certain countries like Africa, they would say, all right, Take your pills in your bag.
Your
malaria pills.
And Nate was like, gosh,
take your Mallory
Malerone.
Pills. Take your Mallory pills.
He's like, I gotta have it because it'll help me live, but it's gonna make me so sick.
Hey, man. I had a shot of Malerone when I walked into your studio today. A nice hug. That's a shot of Malerone.
Man.
And it was free.
We had some really good times. Man. And what an opportunity too. The Amazing Race. You know, everybody's always like, is it real, blah, blah, blah. But it's also like, it's a commitment. So if you're a Harlem Globetrotter, taking 24 days away, and also if you win a lot of money. But if you don't win, you don't win a lot of money. And people don't realize, it's like, you get to travel the world for free. It's all the experience and the exposure. And like, you know, that's the greatest thing, is that experience that you're handed. But it is a sacrifice too, to step away from what you're doing if you're a Harlem Globetrotter.
Well, you know what? There's a couple of ways to look at that. I mean, for me, the first time I did the Amazing Race, I was 10 years into my career. I wasn't flying as high as I once was in 1999. But what the Amazing Race allowed me to do three times is it definitely extended my career.
Yeah.
You know, it allowed me to represent myself, my family, and the organization on national television three times, and it opened up doors for me that I couldn't have imagined. You know, Bertram is a blessing. I mean, I'm going to share a Bertram story with you too, if you don't mind.
I would love that, because I love Bertram as well.
One of the things I always did after every time that we did the Amazing Race, I made sure that I wrote him a letter thanking him for the opportunity.
That is amazing.
I'm pretty sure I did it after every season. Was it 2000? I think it was 2019. I still have visions of my own television shows. Mm-hmm. I have a sports game show idea and another show. And I've been reaching out to Bertram for about a year. Like, hey, I got this idea. Let me come down and pitch it. Let me do it. And he'd get back to me here and there. And then I'd hit his secretary up. And this went on for about 8 months. And finally, he said, all right, set it up with my secretary. So I remember flying down from Sacramento down to Burbank. First time I've flown in the Burbank airport. And I just remember this song by Eminem. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance. Opportunity. I remember sitting in Burbank airport hearing this song as I landed. And like, this is my opportunity to pitch my sports game show idea. More important than being able to pitch these shows to Bertram, one of the things that he said to me when he first seen me, he said, you didn't quit. You didn't give up. I like that. And then he showed me, he said, the first time that I had somebody really believe in me, I think he was 48 years old, and that was Cops.
Wow.
I'm 47 right now. But when he told me that, he said, I didn't give up.
Wow.
And you didn't give up. You're persistent. Ever since then, I'm like, the no's don't hurt. The no's
that
don't hurt.
I did not realize that. Okay, so Bertram Van Munster is the creator and the
Cops.
Producer of Amazing Race?
Yeah.
But he also did Cops. That was his original thing.
Yeah.
And he was 48 years old, so that was his first like big success.
Yeah.
And he was 48.
He's like 80
now,
but
be successful in your 20s.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And so that for me, I mean, from that day on, if you look at my social media, all that kind of stuff, I'm like, press in.
Uh-huh.
I get all kinds of junk stuff in my email, so I'm going to send it right back to you.
Yeah.
You know? So I just got to be persistent. I used to look at, you know, these 60-minute episodes of these prisoners, and people used to write letters, I'm innocent. And finally they would get let loose. So for me, in my life, the more I keep going for what I want, eventually somebody's going to give me exactly what I want.
It.
It's already happening.
Yeah,
but
it's
about being persistent. You can't quit. Young people these days, they give up so fast.
That's true.
Up so fast, whether it's playing video games, whether it's life. I'm not a video game player.
Me
neither. During COVID, I played video games.
Did you?
Playing my son in NBA Live. The way I beat him is I play patient. I play slow. They don't like that. NFL football, I played slow. I was 100,000th ranked in NFL Madden. I'd say COVID started, March, May? I played for about 2 months. I was in the top 10,000. And what would happen is I would get a lead and play slow, and the people I was playing against on the computer would quit.
Play slow.
And I would tell my wife, come watch this. Watch when I get ahead. Watch this person quit. Watch my ranking go up. So sometimes I got ahead just by other people giving up.
Yeah.
So you have to show up. You can't quit. You got to see things through.
Yeah.
And this is what I learned. I'm never quitting.
Young people do give up so easily. I feel like it's such a fast paced, instant gratification, quick. That's all technology and stuff coming into play too. I think it's trained our brains to be a little bit different.
I get it. It's tough.
But that is so true. I mean, is that something that you tell your kids, or you just show them with the way that you're living right now? Just don't give up. Don't quit.
I just try to show them. I try to show the kids that I speak to. You know, when I go to these schools and I speak to these kids.
With the key.
I used to feel like I was bragging when I talk about some of my accomplishments, but I have to let them know that I'm not bragging. You know, if you know where I came from, what I'm sharing with you.
Inspiration.
Is inspiration. And some of you are going through similar things that I've experienced, you know? So keep going.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
When you see somebody struggling, uplift them. Uplift them. For me, if I see somebody struggling, that was me during sports. If I see somebody struggling, I mean, my thing is like, all right, I'm not about to die, so I'm going to go a little bit harder, and I'm going to try to bring you along with me, you know? So don't give up. Keep going.
I love that. I'm not about to die, so I'm going to go a little bit harder. That needs to be on a shirt, too. That's awesome, because that's so true. It's so much is mental, I feel like. So much is just in our minds. Like, everybody just wants comfort. My dad loves this book called The Comfort Crisis, and he talks about how, like, comfort is the ultimate enemy, and that's mountain climbing to him. There is so much discomfort in sleeping outside in like negative 20 degree weather when you're like you're actually about to die. Like on the mountain, it's like, well, am I about to die or am I not about to die, to keep going? Because like a lot of times you are about to die, but like you having to have an oxygen tank to even like get to it is just, but he's just like, it's not, I want a full life more than I want comfort in my life. And I think you're the same way. You want it so bad. You love living.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I've like always just loved you, because I can just tell that you just love living life.
I do.
You don't complain. You are awesome to people, but you are just an example of someone that is truly, this is called the Living Fully Podcast. You are the epitome of living fully.
Mallory, I scuba dive, I ski, I'm an author, mm-hmm. I'm an actor, mm-hmm. I run, mm-hmm. I cycle. If anything a man can do, I want to be able to do it. I'll try it. Jump out of planes, jump off buildings. Why not?
Why not?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it. I feel like I've been here again. God will bring me back as long as I keep on testing myself. I feel like I'm here again for a third or fourth time to do better. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So I live fully with no fear.
Yeah. Live fully with no fear. Anything a man can do, I'm going to try it. I like that. You got all your t-shirts. You need to have a whole merch line.
Oh, yeah. This is so with Swagball, this is my company. This is the inspiration. This is just my first kind of logo to set the brand off. But this is always going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I have all kinds of sayings I'm ready for. Kindness is free, but not on this basketball court. You know, all kinds. Hey.
That's great. Kindness is free, but not.
Kindness is free, but kindness ain't stupid. Kindness is free, but kindness ain't no fool.
Kindness is free, but it's the last leg of the amazing race. And I ain't going to tell you the answer to
that's
this.
Right. We'll talk afterwards.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's great. And that's such a message that is needed now, because something else that I hear you say is like, you know, it's not all about you. Stop thinking about yourself all the time. We're a very self-centered, self-focused culture. And I think part of that, too, has come with technology. I mean, we got a phone in our face. I have a phone in my face every single day. But I, like you, have been given a platform. And that's what I want to share on this platform. Like, if I got 120,000 people watching my Instagram stories every single day, you know what I want 120,000 people to see? Joy, positivity, happiness. Not me complaining that, like, something happened or, like, something wasn't fair.
Possibilities.
Possibilities, opportunity. I grew up in a small town, too. Like, we don't have the same story or upbringing, of course. Like, I know that I was very lucky to grow up in the family that I grew up in, but you say the same thing. You're like, I was lucky.
I wouldn't
too.
Change it for the world. It made me who I am. Like, all of these experiences that I've been through, if I can't share them and you can't feel my pain and my happiness, then what's the point of it all?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why when I speak with passion and I speak the truth. A lot of people don't like to hear me speak. A lot of people don't want to talk to me and keep it real because they only see kindness. But there's a few people I've had to pull to the side and say, hey, kindness is free, but right now I'm about to tell you something.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is.
You got to be real with each other. And when you talk about like social media and young people, I get it. I mean, it's difficult because I can imagine I can physically put myself there as a young person to be able to see all these fast, flamboyant things right there, you know. And for you as a young person, a lot of times you're trying to figure out, how do I get there? And it may seem impossible. But when you're looking at people who look like they've had instant success, It's tough. I mean, even for me, like sometimes, and I know people probably look at me like, man, I'm sorry I make it look easy, but it ain't. You make it look easy, but it's not. You work hard.
It was a long time.
You're sending 20, 30 videos out a day, you know? Yeah. People don't understand that. There's something that goes along with that. You didn't get there by just, you know, by luck. It's your destiny. It's your passion. It's, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes, agreed. It's hard
and
work.
And you're doing it with no excuses. You know, one thing I had to realize, too, is one of my former teammates, Derek Grant, DG Mindset, you guys should follow him on social media. One of the things that he's a former Globetrotter, he mentioned years ago in one of his soliloquies or whatever. His
soliloquies.
As I don't got all the big words, but one of the things that he said, though, really, he said, this wasn't for me, he said, you have to start worrying about so much what other people think about you.
That's really
one of my
hard.
Biggest problems. I mean, I still do worry about what other people think about me, but not as much.
Yeah.
I'm gone. You know, I want to bring you with me. I'm gone.
Yeah.
But I want to bring you with me. I'm gone. If you don't want to come, it's not my fault. I'm sorry.
But I do think that the younger generations really worry about what people think of them, because people can see their whole lives. People have more opportunity to judge because they put everything out there. And like you were just saying a while ago, I mean, it's hard because they only see the flash in the bucket success and the quick. And I think that's why they give up too, because they think, well, if it doesn't happen that fast, then that's the only way it happens. So like, it's not going to happen for me. Yeah. I think that it's social media, I think, can be a really great thing, because I think about people like you that I follow, that it's a great message and it's uplifting and it helps people change their attitudes. But then it pulls people down too. It makes people not believe in themselves. It makes people doubt what they have. It makes people want things that they don't need. It, you know, I think it's a blessing and a curse, like a lot of things. But we have the opportunity to use it for good.
Yeah, we do. And we have a certain sense of control too, as the things that come through our feeds. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, all the time, I'm like, look, I don't know what you're getting, but that's not the algorithm that I'm on. So you have an option up there in a lot of these things. You got three buttons. Would not like to see more material like this. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you'll start to see more of what you want to see. But if you're looking for controversy, drama, sadness, speak it out. They're listening to you. They're going to send it right to you.
That's so true. Yeah. You know? And then you're consuming it all day, every day. So how does it not affect your attitude? And then, y'all, this is your life. This is your one life. And that is what is going to happen in your life. If you keep feeding yourself that, you're going to keep feeding it to other people. All your kids are going to end up like that. Like, your life is going to end up like that. It's so true. Attitude is something that I talk about all the time, like thinking, negative thinking. I think a lot of people are just like negative thinkers. They think negative. They talk negative. They consume negativity. And I'm like, you can change that. You can change that. That is not like you were born with a disease. That is something that you can change. Mm-hmm. But you have to do something to change that.
But your attitude, I mean, if you ain't doing things the right way, you could develop a disease as a result of it, because you're not happy. You're stressing out and, mm-hmm. you know, putting your body in through unnecessary stress.
Yes.
You know, battling things that you have no control over.
Yeah.
You know?
You, I feel like, wake up every single day with a good attitude. You focus on your blessings. You are sharing with this big platform that you have so much about overcoming adversity and being kind to others and not giving up on your dreams. When you have a tough day, or when you wake up and you don't feel like that, what do you do to shift your attitude?
When I have tough days, I'm really routine oriented now. Mm-hmm. So it's get up, meditate, walk. Anytime I can get out in nature, mm-hmm. let the sun hit me or the rain or whatever, the clouds. It's a creative space for me, you know, and every morning when I wake up, my intention is to put something positive out into the world.
Yeah.
You know, positive song, positive message, positive quote. The reason why is because I know there's not a lot of people doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my coaches used to say, we set trends, we don't follow trends.
Yeah.
So what's happened over the past couple of years when it comes to kindness, I love it. When people see things relative to kindness, they start sending me messages. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen 7 years
That's
ago.
That's really awesome.
They used to reach out to me when they see Globetrotter stuff, but now when they see anything relative to kindness, oh Herb, that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I love it. And for me, that gives me my fuel. That gives me my gas to keep on going.
Yeah.
And people like you having me come on and be a part of
living
fully, you give me the gas.
Yeah, because you are giving people some premium gas right now. That's something we try to do on this podcast, is I open the mic to people that I know are living fully, and that therefore all the people listening to this podcast, everybody's trying to live fully. And there are so many things that you've said today on this podcast that are going to be things that people can take away literally today and change their life. And I'm grateful to know you. I'm grateful for like all the fun experiences we had and for our friendship and all of that. But I'm just really grateful that there's a person that exists on the earth like you, because I really think that you are going to change the world. I really do.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I've been having some pretty interesting realizations lately. Like, I'm even thinking, you know, I was a kid, I think it was ninth grade, I had a chance to meet Bill Clinton. I shook his hand, had a chance to meet
The Pope,
President Obama.
You know?
Maybe I need to go to Arkansas, run for mayor of my hometown, become the governor, maybe be president one day.
I think if anybody could do it, you could do it.
I don't know
if I'd want to be the president.
Why not? I could take it.
Why not? You can take it. Anything a man can do, why not try it? I mean,
hey, when I met the Pope, he asked me to pray for him.
Isn't that awesome?
I met Obama twice. Mm-hmm. He was human. Mm-hmm. I'm human. They had parents that believed in them, grandparents, and I got people that believe in me. Mm-hmm. So whatever my calling is, that's what I get to do.
Well, I believe in you. I believe in you.
It's time to talk, baby.
Oh, he's talking.
I've been listening to Les Brown. Les Brown talked about how he used to talk to the kids in the school. That's how he got started. So I started out talking to the kids. Not that I'm going to stop, but I got something for the grown folks, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Kindness is free. Mm-hmm. Kindness.
Is free. Kindness is free.
Get him out of the room.
Kindness is free.
Say it with your chest.
Kindness is free.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's dying over here.
Yeah. My sister-in-law here just laughing at us behind the camera. This was awesome. I just have loved this. Yeah, we're done. We're not done. I got another
question.
I got another question I could ask you, but I think that was, I don't even know what could be better than what he's already said. So.
All right, do y'all want me to come back another time? Maybe. Come back sometime.
I'll be the crowd. Okay, I'm going to link everything Herbert Lang in the description of the show. He has a book. He has merch. Is the merch live? Like, tell me what's going on right now that like you
I'm
have.
I'm a one-man band.
You're a one-man band.
People asking me, they say, how you get booked for this speaking engagement? Me. Who did the shirts? Me. Who designed them? Me. I print them up in my garage. But
do you really?
Yeah, the team is building. I'm just looking for the right people. I'm patient. I'm not in a rush.
Say the city that you're in, because maybe if somebody's in that city and wants to be an intern or something.
Yeah, so I mean, I live part of the year in Sacramento, and I live the other year in Ruskin, Florida, just north of Bradenton, between Tampa. So, yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to need a person. I know you're a one-man show, but like if you're trying to reach the whole world.
I'm trying to reach the whole world, Malarone. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to heal the world.
The blessed Malarone, the blessing and the curse. Oh, God.
The sickness and the cure.
The sickness and the cure.
Not the blessing. There is no curse about you. Come on now.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best. Okay. Well, this was a great interview. This was a great interview. And I'm going to link your book. I'm going to link your merch. I'm going to link your social media. D.A. Trotter.
Four.
Right? Four.
At Gmail.
At Gmail. That's I love watching when you.
Mallory, we didn't even talk about our party bus.
Oh my gosh, wait, okay.
Our party bus.
We
festivities
okay.
in Nashville back
I
in the day.
I forgot about this. Okay, this is 15 years. This is 12 years ago. Okay. So the Globetrotters, every time they come to Nashville, we would all go see them because, you know, we were friends. So I'd always be like, they'd be like, how many people you got coming with you? Malarone. And I'd be like, 18. How many people you got coming with you? 7, you know, and we'd all go backstage. We'd get to hang out with all of them before you guys went on. We'd watch the show. And then we would go out after. Sometimes we'd like go to a restaurant, or sometimes like it'd be a little group of us. And one year they came in and I was like,
oh,
y'all,
boy. Yeah.
I'm going to rent a party bus and like, let's get the whole team and like all my friends. So we get this party bus. This awesome party bus. It was like had lights on the inside and like bar carts. And
it had a couple poles in there that you could hang flags on. Them kind of not just flag hanging
poles.
For sure. Okay,
flag hanging poles, definitely, definitely for flags. And we took that party bus downtown and we would stop at the honky tonk. So we stopped at the stage. Here's the thing about the Globetrotters. They can do a synchronized dance like at the drop of the hat. Like, TikTok ain't got nothing on the Globetrotters.
We've been TikToking.
You've been TikToking for 100 years. Okay, so they would go into the stage, and there would be like 8 of them lined up. They'd be playing some country song that I don't even think y'all knew, and they would do a full-blown in-synchronized dance. And everyone, all these like half-drunk, like Alabama boys are sitting like bellied up at the bar looking over like, oh, shoot. None of the women are going to like me tonight. They look really cool. What they're doing. And we would go from one to the next to
we
the
were
next.
Bar hopping. I didn't even know what honky tonking was. When you told me it was going honky tonking, I'm like, what are we doing? Going honky tonking?
Oh, you made honky tonking a thing that night.
Well, you introduced it to me.
It was, and like somehow by the end of the night, all y'all were wearing cowboy hats. I think people were just like giving you their hats and like their boots. I mean, they were in like full blown cowboy gear by the end of the night. And then was that the same? Was that the night that you ended up at a hookah bar with my brother-in-law, or that was a different night?
I'm pretty sure that might have, well, I don't know.
That might have been a different night. We've had a lot of nights, y'all.
Might have been another night. We got to have some more of those nights.
Oh,
we got to go to
Varanasi
again. What do you think about that? Man. We need another trip to Varanasi.
I'll go.
Yeah.
I'll go. Maybe we could sleep at a hotel instead of on the ground this time, but you know, been there, done that.
That'd be fun.
That was awesome. Gosh, we didn't even talk about the tea episode either in Calcutta.
Next time. I'll come back.
Next time.
Y'all want me back. Mm-hmm. Bring me back.
They're definitely going to want you back. Okay. Best podcast ever. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Malarone. Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you. You're just the best. Mm-hmm. And they love you.
Hey, oh, no, one more.
They love you.
Before we go, one more. Can I do one more?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I remember when we were, we went to Miami for the the big party?
I was like blacked out half the time.
Right. And so Keisha and Jen came in first. Mm-hmm. We came in second. Yeah. You guys came in third.
Mm-hmm. On the All-Star season.
And I remember meeting your mom. This is the first time I met her. And she,
gosh, what did she say?
She came up to us. I don't know if I ever shared this with you either, but she came up and she said, "Oh, Flight Time Big Easy, we love you guys. We love you." She said, we were really, really rooting for you. We wanted you guys to win." I said, "Huh? You don't want them to win?"
I 100% believe that she said that she and did. Wanted that.
She said, "No, we didn't care about them winning." She said, "They ain't like that we need the money."
Oh, my God.
I said, "I wish we would have won too then. I was rooting for us too." But she said that.
Oh my gosh.
"I was rooting for you guys."
I know. Because Gary came from nothing too, but Gary had some success then.
Yeah, of course.
And Gary told me he was going to give me all the money because I did need the money. Uh-huh, yeah. But I guess my mom, if I'd gotten that money though, I'd be dead on the side of the road somewhere because like I was in a spiral. But that, I believe that awesome. Lisa Irvin said that to you 100%.
I'll never forget it.
And I also believe that she wanted you to win.
I believe that too. 100%. Oh, I looked in her eyes. She wasn't playing. She was. It wasn't a joke. Like, we joke around a little bit, but she was.
Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't rooting for them.
Yeah.
She wanted y'all to do well, but she didn't care if y'all won. She wanted y'all to go far.
Okay, wait. Since it's the end of the episode, we probably need to share the end of that episode. Okay, so it's the All-Star season, and then we'll end the podcast with this. It's All-Star season, and in the All-Star season, you know, you got A players usually. Like, everybody is a decent player. Everybody in America loves them. But also, you've played the race once. You kind of know how to play it. Like, I always tell people, it's like 30% physical, 30% mental, and 40% just plain luck. It's mm-hmm. the luck of the taxi driver, the luck of the line you get in with a flight attendant or the agent. Like, it is just
the luck of the fish you bump at 26 miles.
The luck
miles.
Of the fist bump in Liechtenstein. You know, that's what it is. And I just, you know, I think that we made it to this last leg. So we're in Rio de Janeiro and like we make it. I think we won. Did we win that leg or did you win that leg?
We did.
I think we won. Who won that? I can't remember. Maybe me. I don't know.
Hey, neither one of us won the leg. Maybe neither. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who won the leg.
We're in Rio and it says flying to Miami, Florida. Okay, so we're flying to Miami, Florida, and we get off this airplane. We're running 100 miles an hour. And that was a moment where my life changed. You talk about some of the moments where your life changed. We got in. You, Jen and Keisha and y'all got into a taxi right ahead of us. And we got in a taxi right behind you. This lady knocked on the window and was like, "Hey, you know, I've been waiting for this taxi." And we were kind people. Got out of that taxi and got in the next one. That taxi driver, Sterling was his name. I'll never forget him. He had a flip phone, no navigation. He had just moved there. I think he was like Haitian, didn't speak a lot of English. And we got lost for an hour and a half. So when we showed up at the mermaid swimming thing, y'all, I mean, there were wetsuits like laying on the ground. Y'all were long gone. When we showed up, though, at the trailer park.
We were still there.
And you were still there. I can still remember our sound guy screaming. And he was one of those sound guys that was like a little bit like he didn't really say much. He started screaming, "You still got a chance. You still got a chance. You're still in it." And my dad put that trailer together in like 4 minutes. I think y'all had been there for like 40 minutes. But you know, his dad was the largest mobile home salesman in the state of Kentucky. Like that was like, he had a lot of experience putting electric and water together. He had a lot of experience with trailers, like the way they grew up and stuff. And I can still remember. So like, and at the end, you know, if you leave the last challenge, you know, you have won $1 million. Mm-hmm. If you start running and they approve you and you get that next clue, your life changes right there, you know?
Yeah.
So I can still remember, you know, you finish the thing and then you go to the people that are judging it. And I can still remember that moment where Jen and Keisha
yes,
were
like, I do too.
Because like their life changed
and
in that
like,
moment.
And then at that point, we go over and look and see what they did. And we realized it was the table setting for us the whole time. We had finished. If we had our table setting correct, we would have been ahead. We had already set up the thing. It was the
little
we didn't
tiny
let the
thing.
Plates out. We didn't let the plates and the
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the cutlery.
You guys were about a minute behind them.
Yeah.
Like what? Like literally 60
seconds.
Because
we went over to look after they left.
Yeah.
Like what did they do?
But then we had to ride the tricycle across the 7 mile bridge.
7 mile bridge, yeah.
And it's like also in this one, you could see them ahead of you, and you knew like I can't catch up with them, or you know. And we were only about a minute behind y'all.
We didn't see them.
You
they
didn't?
Was, no, that was TV. They were way ahead of us.
Were they?
Yeah,
I thought it was only a few minutes.
We didn't see them on the bridge. But they weren't way ahead of us, but we didn't see them on the bridge.
Yeah. Well, we saw y'all on the bridge.
But they deserved the win, you know?
They deserved the win.
They deserved it.
And they gave that money to their mom to either pay off her house or, like, open a salon or something. And we love Jen and Keisha. Jen and Keisha are two people too that I consider good friends, and you know, we've had so many experiences together. But like that, my life changed. If I would have won $1 million in that last leg, I don't think I'd be alive today, because like my life, I was struggling. And I think if I'd been handed that much money, and I don't think I'd be here. I really don't. So it's like all those things in your life that you think is like, I lost this, or it's an ending, or it's like, it wasn't.
You can't lose what you never had.
Yeah.
That was our mentality going into the race. You know, it's not our money to count.
That's awesome.
It's not our money to count.
Can't lose what you never had.
Yeah.
That is great. Can't lose what you never had. This is one of my favorite podcast episodes in like almost 100 episodes. So you're just the best, my friend. All right. I'm going to link everything, my friend Flight Time, in the show notes so you guys can find him, because I know you're going to want to find him after this podcast. And thanks so much for coming on. This was a real treat.
Thank you.
Kyle's really sad that you're not at our house, though. He was like, dang it. He was like, I thought Flight Time was coming to our house. And I was like, he's coming to the office. And he was like, Kenny, come to our house. I'll grill him a steak. And I was like, I'll ask him. Are you really here till Friday?
Yeah, then I'm coming back next week before I fly out.
Oh, he's coming to our house then.
I'm we gonna grill you a steak. Y'all got a bed for me?
Yeah, it's a bunk bed. I don't know if you want to fit in the
perfect
bunk.
Give me that bunk bed.
Okay, this is awesome. Okay, well, we're grilling steaks later this week, so it's going to be fun. Let's okay, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mallory.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Living Fully Podcast. I know that that's going to be just as much of a gift to you as it was to me. I adore Flight Time. I literally cannot say enough about him. But after listening to this podcast, I know you can see why. So thanks so much for listening, and tune in next week for more. Hey there. If you're loving the show, we would love to have you subscribe. So go find that little plus sign or follow button in your podcast app to make sure you won't miss a single episode. See you next week. Thank you to Pampers Cruisers 360 for supporting this episode. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.